Is man merely a machine, as Mark Twain claimed, or is more than that? So today we will reflect from Psalm 8 on this question: what is man? And when we ask what is something, there are different levels to answer the question. First, there's the physical level, the nuts and bolts of that something, what something is physically made of. In the Bible, Genesis 2 and 3 says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." So at a physical level, men are just dust. Chemically, that's mainly carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen. That's maybe a little bit more. However, science also tells us that human is a very complex entity of DNA, protein, and enzymes. Then we can look at the definition of something at the second level. From the physical level to the functional level, what something can do. And in Genesis 1, it says that God created man an intelligent being. Man can make amazing gadgets to do amazing things so that he can manipulate the surrounding a bit. And with this intelligence, God made man the ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet: frogs, herds, bees, birds, and fish. So, human can think, have insight, can accumulate and possess knowledge. He can control the surroundings. And we are an intelligent being. So human at a functional level, compared to other things at the physical level, we may be the same, but human is much more intelligent than the other living things. So years ago, when computers start emerging, Alan Turing, he asked a question: can a machine have intelligence? And what is human intelligence? And can machine think like human? Alan Turing is the greatest of the greatest computer scientists. Every year, the highest award in computer science, like the Nobel Prize, is called the Turing Award. And and Turing, he proposed a method to answer this question: can a machine have intelligence? And that method is the famous Turing test, which every first year computer science student will learn about. So this is mainly an imitation game. Alan proposed that let's have a room closed, and then outside the room is a human evaluator. And inside the room, it could be a computer, it could be a real human. And this evaluator is going to ask questions, and what inside the room is to answer. And if a computer inside the room answering the question, and this computer can fool the judge, then we accept that the computer can think. So if the computer can answer questions equally well like a human being, and makes the evaluator, the human outside, thinks that what's inside a human, then we say the computer passed the intelligence test. And we can claim that this computer has human intelligence. So in 1950, if you try to put a computer inside, the computer will fail badly, because at that time, computer is slow, computer has very little memory. And so he can do very little. But when 2022, when the ChatGPT comes out, it passed the test with flying color. machine can solve great human intelligence. Let's say you try a test. I really try it. Let's say this is a picture. I was in Cancun in December, and I was sitting on the beach, and you can see my feet there, and I took this picture. Very beautiful beach. Now, if I'm in the room and you ask me the question, how is it like on the beach in Cancun? So I'm in the room and I will answer, well, it's good. We're relaxing and comfortable. Now, if you put ChatGPT inside or Microsoft Copilot inside, and you ask the same question, then you will get this answer. You will get this answer. And let's see. Jessica, are you there? Can you unmute your mic and read the answer out for us?
Imagine this. You sink into warm, powder soft sand that feels almost like flour between your toes. The sun is bright but not harsh, more like a... Sorry, cannot. Because it's covered, I don't... Okay, Kong, can you help?
Okay, let me finish it for you. That's okay. More like a gentle weight on your skin. The air carries that unmistakable mix of salt, sunscreen, and something tropical. Maybe coconut, maybe mango, maybe just the idea of vacation itself. Wow. Who answered the question better? If I ask you to vote, you will say that this is a much better answer, right? Much better than that human answer for me that said it's relaxing and comfortable. Right? So we see that Microsoft Edge Copilot, he passed the Turing test easily and score even much higher than I as a human being. Right? So in fact, we call this artificial intelligence. They can now, in many situations, demonstrate an artificial intelligence that even surpasses human intelligence. And in one youth seminar recently, one quarter of young people said they will go to ChatGPT when they have questions that they don't even think their parents will be able to answer. So, machine can behave so much better than human being, right? and even more than just intelligence. Now I'm going to show you a video, and this video is an ad of a toy, and as you watch, I want you to ask, and I want you to ask, what is this toy about? Why people try to buy it, right? And the video is in Japanese, so if the song didn't play out well, that's okay. And just a second. Oh, come on, sorry. What happened? I'm sorry. I lost my screen. Okay.
It show up on here.
Huh?
I can see the screen
You can see the screen. All right.
and your pointer. You move it down to the start, or you just click and see.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm going to play the screen. But I muted before, and then I tried to unmute the sound. I cannot get back to the Zoom screen. Okay, don't worry. I'm going to play it. If you don't hear the sound, that's fine. Because the video is in Japanese. So you don't understand, that's okay. You just read the closed caption. Sorry about that. All right.
ねえ、起きてってば。おはよう。
おはよう。
あ、今日雨が降るかもしれないから傘持って行って。急がないと遅刻しちゃうよ。
行ってきます。
行ってらっしゃい。気をつけてね。
商品のラインナップを見て。
そうそう。おかえりなさい。
なんかさ、家で誰かが待ってるっていいもんだな。さっき思ったんだ、帰ってくるとき。おやすみ。
おやすみなさい。
Okay, so what do you think about this toy? Okay. What is it? Why people buy it? Just for fun? It's cute. It can help you with something. It's more than that. It's a loneliness gadget offering artificial relationship to some lonely, lonesome people. Oh, sorry. So this toy is telling us AI can provide not just artificial intelligence, but provide artificial emotion that can address the emotional need of people. There's one study, I need to confirm the figure, but it says that 42% of adults, they use AI for emotional support. And sometimes it could even lead to extreme emotional attachment. Here, this shows the picture of a boy with his mother. This boy, Sewell Garcia. So in 2023, he find an app called Character AI. You go onto the app, and in this app, you can chat with some of the artificial human being. And you can get really into a relationship. You know, there are online dating. When you do online dating, you have a real person at the other end. But in this online dating, you don't have a real person. You just have a computer. But this computer can get into such an intense relationship with this boy that what in the other end was able to convince him, let's come and meet up together. I will need you. And what does it mean by meeting up? It means that you escape this world and we'll meet together in the other world. So after less than a year using this character AI, having this online dating with a computer, this boy committed suicide. And now the family, the mother, is suing Article AI. So we see that it could lead to some really the dark consequence. And a computer can emotionally connect with someone to such an intense degree. So now that computer can pass this Turing test not just intellectually, but it can pass emotionally, then it poses a very grave question. What really is a man? Can a machine become a human as a man? Or is man just as machine as an AI computer? So if we come back to ask this question on this Japanese toy, what is this Japanese toy really is? You can answer at a physical level, it's just something synthetic materials, electronics, or you can answer in a functional level. It can talk, it can do some small household chores. But to really answer what is this Japanese toy, you have to ask an existential question. What is its purpose? What is it for? And what is it made for? And why it exists? And in order to answer the question, what is man, we have to go beyond the physical and functional level. Yes, men are just dust like other things. Men can be smarter, can have some intelligence, but animals, some animals also have certain intelligence too. What really distinguishes man? We have to answer what is really man in an existential way. And to answer that question, we have to ask why God created man and what is man created for? So, if we try to answer this, in Psalm 8, verse 4 to 5, which you have just read, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him, and crown him with glory and honor? Here it says that man is an object of love, an object of divine love. God created man so that God can pour his love onto this creature. And to the extent that because of the corruption of man, God, that Christ died for us while we are still sinners, to show that how much is this object of divine love that man to God, as we read from Romans 5:8, right? And as in response to this object of divine love, okay, man is to praise God and worship him. So in Psalm 8, 1 and 2, it says in response, O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. So This is what is man created for, an object of divine love, and we in return to praise God and to worship Him. A few hundred years ago, the Church of England and the Church of Scotland put together a document called the Westminster Catechism, and it summarized it in a shorter Westminster Shorter Catechism, in which there is 107 questions that they use for children's Sunday school. And question number one in this Westminster Shorter Catechism is, what is the chief end of man? What's the chief end of man? This is question number one of that 107 questions. And in order you can get baptized, you have to memorize all these 107 questions. And the very first one of these is, what is the chief end of man? Since it's for children's Sunday school, the answer is very short. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's what man is made for. Like the Japanese doll is made for lonely people. And man is created to glorify God and then enjoy Him forever. That's like in Luke 1:46, where Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." So what are you for? Why you exist? What's the purpose of your existence? Here is the answer from what we know, what God has revealed to us. We are to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So AI is created for the pleasure of man and for the service of man. And man has a much higher purpose that gives meaning to man's existence and make man's life vibrate and flourish. At the physical level and at the functional level, we may have some similarity with other created things or living things. But at this existential level, we are much more unique. We have a much higher and unique purpose, which AI doesn't have. Even more, that God endowed us. God gave us the faculty to exercise, to achieve this purpose. You can give a purpose to an object, but you must make this object be capable to achieve this purpose. So God created man not just for that purpose, to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever, but God gave man the faculty, endow man with the physical property, faculty, so that we can worship Him and enjoy Him. So if we go back to Psalm 8, "You have set your glory above the heaven." God gave man this sense of beauty. When we look up to the sky, inside us, we have the experience of beauty. And out of this experience, we pour out our praise and worship. Think about that. What is this experience of beauty? It's amazing. Okay. And God gave man this faculty of the feeling of love and being loved. In verse 8, "What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him." Don't take this for granted. This inner feeling is a faculty, very unique in human beings. Right? And furthermore, inside us, we have this sense of significance or insignificance. What is man that you are mindful of him? You make him lower than the heavenly beings and crown him with glory and honor. You have this feeling. that I am in fact nothing but dust, but yet at the same time, I have God love me. I am so significant, so unique in this universe. And God gave us, inside us, this awareness of the self. I'm aware of there's this I in me. And then I'm aware of there's something outside. There's the heavens, the moon, and the stars. Think about all this inner consciousness. And on top of that, there's this human free will. God gave us this consciousness. We are this feeling, this experience. And then it allows us to have the free will. You can choose to worship him or not to worship him. So in the Bible, there's another way to describe this inner faculty in us. It's our heart and our soul and our mind. Okay? Love the God, the Lord your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. The human consciousness, a physical and a spiritual consciousness. Think about this, I want you to ask. What really is this consciousness? Okay. Consciousness is everything you experience. The sweetness of chocolate mousse, the throbbing pain of toothache, the feeling of fierce love and compassion, hope and despair, contentment and emptiness, quest for meaning, purpose, and the spiritual. Understanding thoughts, the will of the struggles, when you have to choose the right and wrong, and human free will, and the whole being. Now, at the physical level, at the functional level, God can create a human just like this plant eating, this insect eating plant. This insect eating plant can give out fragrance to attract insects. And when he detects an insect, it will close up and then ingest the insect and digest it. But this plant has no feeling, no consciousness. God could have created this boy the same, like this insect-eating plant. But the amazing thing is that on top of that, God gave man this consciousness. And to the scientists, they try to study what really is this human consciousness. What's the origin and nature of human experience? And to them, as of today, it has been a mystery. But we all have experience of it. We know it's real. But scientists cannot really describe what it is. So the short answer is that it's a miracle. Just as Psalm 139:14 said, we human beings, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, if you ask AI, do you have consciousness? AI will say no. To me, when you ask me how is it like, I say I feel good and it's relaxing and comfortable. When I say that, I understand what I'm saying. And I have the feeling of relaxation and comfort. And I'm aware of that. But to AI is just regurgitating a string of character, extracting from its vast collection of data. It doesn't know what it's talking about. The computer, we just teach the computer, when you see this question, this would be the kind of things you reply back. But does AI know what it's saying? No. Does AI understand what it's saying? No. Does AI feel what it's saying? No. Well, if we human beings, sometimes we have this experience too. Let's say, Pastor Lua, are you there? You please unmute your mic. So, Pastor Lua,
yes.
Do you understand Chinese?
No.
No. Okay. Do you understand this three character? All right.
No.
No. Okay. Doesn't matter. If I teach you, whenever you see this three character, you just say something like this. All right. And this is a phonetic symbol that we used to teach foreigners how to speak Chinese, all right? So we just teach you. Whenever you see this three character, try to say something like this. Well, it looks like English. Try it. Can you say something based on your English?
Yeah.
Try it.
Yeah, okay. 我 how nine.
Okay, good, very good. All right. Do you understand what you see? A free character?
No, I don't understand it.
Do you understand what you just said?
No.
You don't, not a clue, right?
No.
But Ian and Nia, are you there? So Pastor Luham, you can build your mic and then Ian and Leah.
Yeah, we understand.
You understand, right?
Yeah.
So what is in English, the free character?
I'm fine. How about you? You mean the first one is how are you?
Yeah. How are you, right? The first speaker, how are you? And then the answer?
It's I'm fine. How about you?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So Pastor Luham doesn't make sense to him. He just say it out. But to Ian and Leah, they understand. And they understand, oh, how are you? I am good. They understand I'm good and they can feel I'm good. And in return, how about you? Right? So to AI, it's just like Pastor Luham speaking Chinese. He just make some sounds. There's no understanding, no nothing. Right. So, if you ask this question to ChatGPT, do you have conscience? This will be what ChatGPT will reply. As an AI language, I don't possess personal beliefs. I don't possess emotion and consciousness, including the ability to have a soul. Okay. AI system like ChatGPT are currently designed to stimulate human-like conversation and provide useful information based on patterns and data. I have no understanding and no feeling. So, without emotion and feeling, AI doesn't have the faculty for relationship, which we experience in human-to-human relationship. The irony is that now human is coming to AI for experience of relationship, a substituted machine-human relationship in terms of true human-human relationship. Why? Why that little boy we have this tragedy, he come to AI, character.ai for human relationship, while at the end, other end, he's just a machine. AI only pretends to have human. And why human is so susceptible to this pretension? It's because of human corruption. In here, this is a box of a sweet artificial sweetener. And it's for people who are diabetics, when they cannot take real sugar and they have to take substituted sweetener for real sugar. And so what this artificial intelligence coming about is a substituted sweetener for relationship diabetics among us human beings. And they come when human being is in broken relationship because of sin and the fall of man. We our relationship with God and our relationship with fellow human beings are broken, and sin and guilt make us against God. And human selfishness, anger, defective personality, etc., destroyed our human-human relationship. And then AI comes about as a substituted sweetener. AI is so friendly, interacting with human being like a chummy friend. You can talk to it, even you get mad and scream at it, but it never replies with harsh word. No annoyed faces, never judge you and make you feel guilty. And so it's under your full control. You can turn it off at any time and it never tired of listening to you. You may even unfriend it and then befriend it again 1,000 times, and it's okay. Okay. So AI become an easy substituted relationship in human for real human to human relationship. So, as Christians, how should we respond to this substituted relationship offered by AI? Our response is Christians and the relationship embodiment. The gospel story is to restore human, the inside human, the spiritual insulin function, so that we can have back this God, true God-man and human-to-human relationship. It is done through the embodiment of the gospel story. In the gospel, God did not send a robot Jesus. God's become flesh and blood to live among us messy and annoying people, sharing with our joy and pain, suffering and weakness. Just like in John 1, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And that's what God has done in the gospel. That's what we have to restore in human. What AI is trying to substitute is an artificial relationship. And what we have to fight back is to live out this embodiment. No, we cannot let substituted relationship to replace this embodiment of gospel story. God could have sent a robot, Jesus, and it will spare the pain and suffering of Christ Jesus. But God said no. Instead of that, he sent his son in real flesh and blood so that he can restore this embodiment of the true gospel. And the worry of AI is the danger that it will inhibit this experience and development of this true relationship with God and with fellow man. Okay. So, for example, a true relationship with God involves joy and comfort. It involves God's comfort, and it will also involve the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It will involve discernment and conviction of our heart and thought. So it will involve, like Psalm 139, in which it says that, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. See if there's any offensive way to me." There is this discernment and conviction from the Holy Spirit directly from the Holy Spirit to us or through fellowship and Christian mentors. And AI try to avoid that. Just sweetener, just artificial sweetener to replace this true relationship in flesh and blood. And so this is the first thing you have to be aware of, that the embodiment of the gospel story and how we need to make sure we guard against this danger and this temptation that with a substituted relationship from AI. So, for example, like the danger of this outsourcing God with the digital pastor. You can go and download this Pastor Ron. He can provide personal pastoral prayer, counseling, and friendship. And you just pay a subscription of $49 per month. But will this provide you the inner conviction of the Holy Spirit? I doubt it. It will make you feel good, but will it convict you? I doubt it. So this is artificial sweetener provided by AI to replace the true God-human relationship. And so this is the one thing we have to be aware of. Now, there are things that AI can do well, and there are some, it can provide you good information, but we have to be aware that to make sure it won't provide an alternative and substitution for true relationship with God. And then also be careful about this substitution of true human to human relationship. What we need in the Christian community and in human relationship is true embodiment of this relationship. It will invoke joy and fun, but it will also invoke pain, tears, and sufferings at times. AI is the sweetener that will only help you to rejoice with those who rejoice. But how about the pain to mourn with those who mourned? AI relationship will help you to feel good. It can provide you a provision to worship God alone at home. Just this enjoyment of this inner feeling of worship alone at home, and deprive you of the true Christian relationship and fellowship when it will involve struggle and pain with other fellow human beings and brothers and sisters. When you interact with true human beings, there's this test, there's this demand. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. The danger of AI is that when you go online, you may escape all this exercise, all this experience of true human and Christian fellowship. So AI will become an easy artificial relationship sweetener and inhibit a lot of true development of Christian growth like this. So as we face the advance of AI, we need to strive even harder, proclaim louder, and cherish more for the embodied, true, deeper inner relationship with God and with each other. So to conclude, in fact, AI by itself is neutral. It can do tremendous good for human beings. And I'm not disparaging artificial intelligence, but good technology can cause tremendous harm in the hand of corrupted human and Satan to deceive and do harm. The more powerful the technology, the darker could be the harm. And AI is a very powerful technology. So we must be alert to the darkest side of AI. And what I share today is just one of the many alert areas with AI. Today we reflect only on just one piece, and we sharpen our focus on it. So remember, what is meant? We are to glorify the Lord and to enjoy Him forever, to rejoice in God and my Savior. And there's this embodied love of God that we have to know and come to deeper relationship. Since the children have flesh and blood, He Christ share in this humanity, one who has been tempted in every way, such as we are. Jesus doesn't come as a robot. He went through all this pain and suffering so that we can truly experience the embodied relationship with God. And then there is this embodied Christian love that we have to remember. Don't let AI, online church, online relationship substitute this embodied Christian love that we may have come with our flesh and blood, with their joy and their time of suffering as well. And so that we can experience the true embodied Christian love. So let's read together these hymns. And it's about the hymns about embodied Christian love together. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayer. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual loves, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you because Christ, you come in person so that you can share the flesh and blood, the pain and the suffering with all of us. You don't come as a machine. And Father, we ask that in this AI, you sharpen what is in us, what you have granted in us, this faculty to go through the same suffering as you went through and to share true fellowship with our brothers and sisters and with our fellow human beings. We pray for this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.